The video of the death of Eric Garner, that footage of him lying on the ground, gasping, "I can't breathe," that was so upsetting, so deeply painful for many of us. And it's raised all sorts of questions. Questions about police strategies, use of force, racism. Writer Emily Bazelon has been asking herself an ethical question. When do you call the cops on a black man?
Like a lot of people, I've been thinking about race and the cops lately. Writing about legal issues for 20 years has taught me that black people really are at risk from the police in a way that the rest of us are not. Maybe the unfairness I'm talking about is obvious to you, whatever your race. There's plenty of evidence that black men bear the brunt of arrests, convictions, and long sentences in America. Just do a little research on police stop and frisk practices or racial disparities in sentencing, and it's plain to see how the police and the justice system come down harder on black men. As a journalist covering the law, it's pretty much a given for me that if the criminal justice system gets a hold of a black person, especially if he's poor, there's a serious heightened risk that it will crush him. Okay, yes, I know we need law enforcement. I know most cops are good people trying to do a difficult job as well as they can. But the police have so much power. And often, they're not held accountable for abusing the power they have. Even when it seems as if they broke their own rules, like when a New York police officer killed Eric Garner in a chokehold. All of these factors mean that far too many black people die from cops' bullets. One new analysis shows that black males are 21 times more likely than white males to be shot and killed by the police. Let me say that again. 21 times more likely to be shot and killed. That even includes kids, like Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old boy who was shot by a Cleveland cop, who responded to a report that Tamir held a gun on a playground. The gun turned out to be a toy. In fact, the person who called 911 about Tamir said the gun was fake. But the dispatcher didn't pass along that information, and the cop had a record for emotional immaturity and poor communication. And within 2 seconds of the police cruiser pulling into the playground, Tamir had been shot. So in the wake of all of these stories, I've also been thinking about how, as a white person, my own actions have been shaped by law enforcement's treatment of black people. These days, if I have a choice about whether to involve the police in the life of a black person, I will try to choose not to. Of course, if anyone of any race breaks into my house or threatens my kids, I'll call 911 and pray as hard as I can for the police to come. But much of the time, our choices are made in hazier gray areas. Think about the story of Deborah Harrell, a single mom with a job at McDonald's, who let her daughter spend a few days of summer vacation playing alone in the park. Someone called the cops, and Harrell was arrested. Her daughter was sent to foster care. If I saw a 9-year-old black girl alone in the park, and she said her mother was at work, I would not call the police. I would ask the girl if she was okay and try to talk to her mom. Because the truth is, in this country right now, once the wheels of the bureaucratic state start to turn, they can grind people up. Maybe the police want to help, but they don't have discretion. Maybe the law just isn't written the right way. Whatever the cause, I'd rather avoid bringing its weight to bear on someone else, especially when I know that person is less likely to get a fair shake. Black people need the protection of the police just like everyone else. Sometimes they call out for a stronger police presence. But too often, the arm of the government that is meant to help them hurts them instead. Maybe we should all keep that in mind when we consider calling the cops.
Emily Bazelon is a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine. This essay was adapted from a Slate article. If you want to read it, go to ttbook.org.